This is Amarins. Hi again, my name is Arthur, a gay American now living in New Zealand, and welcome to episode 76 of the Amarins podcast. It's Wednesday, March 5th, 2008. Of course, as I'm recording this, it's actually still Tuesday the 4th in the U.S., and at the time that I'm recording this, the polls are still open in those primary states, Texas and Ohio and whatever the other ones are. Nobody ever remembers the other ones. But because the polls are still open, we don't know what the results will be yet, who's won the various contests. But that's going to be my topic on my show later this week. Now, of course, I record on Friday, New Zealand time, but it's Thursday in the U.S., and I'm going to be recording at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, U.S. time. So if any of you would like to join me to discuss it, you're more than welcome. At this stage, I don't know that I'm going to be having any guests. And if that's the case, I won't be discussing it with myself, asking myself questions and answering myself, because that would be just a bit too weird. So one way or another, it will be my topic at the end of the week. And as I say, you are welcome to join me at 7:30 Eastern time on Thursday, U.S. time. And of course, my Skype username is Amarins. Big surprise, I know, but that's what it is. It's Amarins. But today I just thought I would catch you up on some odds and ends. It's been a week since I last podcasted, and I hadn't intended to go that long. I just got overly busy on Friday and didn't have a chance to record. And I could have recorded on Saturday, but I didn't. I was holding off because I had hoped that I might be able to convince Nigel to join me. That ended up not happening, and then I've just been busy again this week. This is the busiest week of the month for me, and I didn't have time to record yesterday when I normally do, and so I thought, oh, well, exactly 1 week later. That's somehow oddly fitting. But nothing is wrong. Nothing is going on. It's just that I've been extremely busy over the past week or so, and that's the reason I haven't been podcasting. But nevertheless, we're going to try to make up for that now, and we'll just carry on. Now, I only had a few things I wanted to tell you about today anyway. And first among them, this past weekend was the Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras in Sydney. Now, it's one of the biggest gay and lesbian events in the world, and they had 10,000 people marching in the parade, and 300,000 people were watching it. That was on Saturday night. And there apparently had 18,500 people at the party, which is one of the highlights of the whole Mardi Gras festivities. But in all of that, the police only arrested 29 people, which I think is really pretty amazing, especially when there's that many people there. But one of the organizers told ABC News Australia that Mardi Gras was a big money spinner for Sydney, and this is a quote now, "We raise $45 million for the New South Wales economy each year. We're a fully self-funding festival, but the state has not given us a cent." Although the New South Wales Tourism Authority, government thing, whatever they call it, has spent money promoting it. But they don't directly support the parade or the festival as such. However, one of the companies that was involved this year was Air New Zealand. Now, if you read any of the big gay blogs like Joe My God or Toll Road or one of those, you probably already know about this. But this year, Air New Zealand organized a flight from San Francisco to Sydney called the Pink Flight. And it involved drag queens, cabaret performances, pink cocktails in a special party before boarding. And the hostess this year on the flight was Kathy Griffin. Now, if you do read those sites, you've probably seen my comments in reply, because a lot of the comments that were being posted by Americans were talking about how terrible this was, about how some of it was drag phobic, that they had an almost visceral reaction to the existence of drag queens, much less that they would be on the plane. And they thought it was a terrible thing, and the company obviously didn't understand the community, and and I thought to myself, these people need to get over themselves. First of all, it was just a bit of fun. Secondly, drag is a huge part of the GLBT communities in New Zealand and Australia. And it's not necessarily female impersonator type drag, as you might see in a cabaret or something. These are over the top. Think Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, those sorts of drag queens. And it's all just a bit of fun. Now, I don't know if the flight was fully booked out. I've read in some places that it wasn't, but I don't know if that's true or not. It was an incredibly cheap flight. It was, I think, $1,000 flight, and for us, it's quite a bit more than that to fly to San Francisco and back to Auckland. But be that as it may, it, as I said, it was just a bit of fun, and I thought some people were taking it way too seriously because it wasn't any sort of social commentary, and it wasn't that Air New Zealand got it wrong and didn't understand the gay community. They were trying to do something fun and something different, and I would imagine they were trying to build up some interest in the San Francisco flights because they fly daily from Auckland to San Francisco. And they probably want to try to drum up some interest in people flying Air New Zealand because it is a really good airline. I've flown it several times now, and the last time I went to the U.S., I flew on Air New Zealand, and the Air New Zealand flight itself was really pretty good, especially, although if you compare it to United, it's not hard to be better, but be that as it may, it was just a bit of fun, and I thought it was really a shame to see so many people bagging Air New Zealand for just doing something that was just meant to be fun. I think that some people need to really, really settle down and not get so worked up about drag queens. I don't understand why they get so, not fearful isn't quite the right word, but so resentful, maybe. In some cases, it was almost a case of me thinks he doth protest too much because they were going on too much about being masculine and all those kinds of things. I didn't get into any of that. There were other people, especially on Toll Road, who were taking on the commenters for their drag phobia or whatever the word would be. I just concentrated on the fact that that people shouldn't be quite so quick to judge because things are different in this part of the world, and Air New Zealand was doing a good thing. It wasn't being insulting in any manner, shape, or form. But I just wanted to bring that up because I haven't had a chance anywhere to say that I think that some of these people need to get over themselves. But where better to do it than my own podcast, eh? Now, in the last episode, I mentioned that a lesbian MP was coming into Parliament to replace the woman who I'd elected, helped elect. God, give myself the power. But it's sort of complicated to explain. Any German listeners will understand the process because our structure is identical to Germany's. But she's coming in what's called the party list because each party represented in Parliament gets a portion of the seats that relates to their percentage of the party vote. You vote for the party you want to form government, and based on that vote, they're allocated seats proportionately. And then you vote for the electorate candidate separately. Well, she is a list candidate because the woman I helped elect lost the last election as for the electorate and entered Parliament on the party list. So, that, and since when she left, then the next person on the list comes in, and that was this woman. Now, her name's Louisa Wall, and I had said that she had represented New Zealand in netball. Well, she also represented New Zealand in women's rugby. And yesterday was her welcoming to Parliament, because Parliament sits on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And you can actually listen to the proceedings live over the internet if you're really keen. And I have mentioned that in the past. I think there might be a link on my blog. If there isn't, I should jolly well put one in. But anyway, so she gave her what's called a maiden speech yesterday. And this is from gaynz.com that I'm taking this. This is a quote. I don't have a sound clip because I forgot. I forgot it was happening, so I didn't record it. Hey, I make mistakes too, okay? But she said, she reaffirmed Labour's commitment to human rights, and this is a quote, that regardless of race, sex, marital status, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, or religious faith, we New Zealanders will be free to express ourselves and have the support of society in doing so, which is a sort of a core value of the Labour Party. And she said that politics was about being, quote, in a position of power to make informed and principled decisions of benefit to society and which protect the rights of society's most vulnerable members. Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't think many people would. It certainly is a noble goal for politicians to aspire to. I can't say necessarily how often they achieve that goal, but be that as it may. And I'm probably going to end up talking about her again in the future when I talk specifically about New Zealand's electoral structure. The reason I haven't done that up until now, partly because it's difficult for me to figure out how to explain it, but also because it just gets a bit confusing when the American elections are going on at the same time to talk about how our parliament is structured and therefore how the elections are done. But I think in the period after the primaries are over and before the conventions, when there's a little bit of a lull in the American campaign, that's probably when I'll talk about that, because the New Zealand elections will be happening at roughly the same time as the American ones, possibly October, maybe November, somewhere in there anyway. And you sort of need to understand how everything is structured in order to be able to understand what's going on. And I do hope to have some shows specifically about the New Zealand elections as they get a little bit closer, preferably before the campaign begins, because that raises other issues, but we'll see. Now, I also have been talking recently about running out of storage space on Podomatic, and I haven't come up with a solution for that yet. I got an email from John Ong, who offered to help me try to sort out the RSS feed problems, if it's possible. And John is like, he's like the authority that podcasters turn to for stuff like this. And all you have to do is pretty much listen to almost anybody's podcast, and sooner or later they will mention the help they've gotten from him, because he's absolutely brilliant. He's got a brilliant podcast too, by the way, and there is a link on my blog. But I don't know that anything's going to come of that. And one of the things that has occurred to me is I could just set up a free Podomatic account just for the archives and not do anything with it other than when I take shows down, post them up there, and anybody who really wants them can get them. But I suppose if I do that, I'll have to add a disclaimer at the end, the beginning maybe of each one. I don't know. Anyway, that's an idea I thought of. So that way I don't have to change my feeds and risk losing subscribers. But lest I devolve into anything even more meta than I already have, I'm going to go over comments from episode 75. And that episode was called Big Bucks, because I was talking about how the New Zealand dollar was at a huge high. And it's been all over the place since that I recorded that. It's been up and down, and it's still much higher than it's been in a long time. So the first comment was from Nick, who said, this is Nick, who was on episode, 72, I think. I'm sorry, I should have known that. But anyway, and he said, I recall when I first visited New Zealand in 2000, it was about 39 cents to the U.S. dollar. And I thought that was fan-freaking-tastic for us, and that was around the rate it usually is. 8 years later, egad, 85 cents. Good for some, but not great for any Americans visiting here, that's for sure. And I said, when I first came to New Zealand, the New Zealand dollar was higher than that, but nowhere near where it is now. When we visited the U.S. in 1997, it was around 70 U.S. cents, and we thought that was fantastic. It was higher than that when I was there around New Year's. American immigrants to New Zealand should just keep as much money as they can in U.S. banks for now. And that's actually a good point. If any of you are contemplating immigrating to New Zealand, I would strongly suggest that if you can, that you leave money in U.S. banks, because until the exchange rate changes over, because you could end up, depending on how much you're moving, of course, you could end up with thousands of extra dollars. But if you're just coming on holiday, it doesn't matter that much. And even with the high Kiwi dollar, the prices in New Zealand are pretty affordable from an American perspective, except for books. but accommodation and food and travel within New Zealand is all pretty reasonable, especially if you've got time to search for the best values. But next was Eric, who said, could not agree with you more, Nader's egomania. Of course, I don't think any politician is wholly altruistic at that level. You need a certain amount of ego, I think, to think you're deserving of running a country after all, right? That's probably my major problem among many with Obama. This idea that he's somehow not a politician is hysterical, when it's very clearly a moment in time that was planned, and steps were taken specifically for the purpose of running for president. He actually has a second comment after that, but I'll respond to the first part first, I think. And I said, yeah, all politicians have a problem with ego, but I'm beginning to think that we ordinary citizens are starting to get a problem with cynicism. Mind you, that's what the past 7 years have trained us for. And what I'm getting at, basically, is I think that, and I've said this before, that the partisans for both Obama and Clinton are too hard on the other side. They are being too negative, and they are being too vicious in some cases. And as a totally neutral person in that whole race, I just wish they would stop it and move on, because it's not helping the party and it's not helping our chances in November for people to be so intensely negative toward the other side. But anyway, the second comment was from Eric. And did I say his Confessions of a Southern-Born Yankee Land? I can't remember if I said that or not. Anyway, he said, oh, regarding the feed, I actually grew by about, well, several hundred subscribers when I left Podomatic. I don't know if that was related to Libsyn or the luck of the changeover. You could also do some further research and figure out whether or not it is possible to redirect your feed out of Podomatic. Then you won't lose your iTunes subscribers. And I said, there are some features on Libsyn I really like delayed posting. Unlike you and others, I've never had a problem with Podomatic, but their storage limitations are a bit nuts. That's why I hesitate to change. And what we're both talking about there is that changing the feed, the RSS feed, means that potentially I could lose subscribers because iTunes wouldn't know about it. There is a way to reset your feed on iTunes, but you have to have access to the code. And I don't think I do, but even if I did, I certainly wouldn't know what to do about it, which is where John Ong comes in. roughly 3/4 of my podcast episodes are caught through iTunes. And that's why it's such a big deal, because, I mean, potentially I'm risking 3/4 of my audience if I change feeds. That's why I'm obsessing so much about this. And podcasters will probably identify with that instantly. And I should have set things up differently when I started up, but I didn't know any better at the time. So, you know, you just do what you can do. Now, I mentioned the thing about delayed posting for Libsyn, and basically what that is, I think it's unique to them. I don't know that for certain, but it allows you to post an episode and set the date and time for when it goes into your feed. So that means, for example, if you're going to go away, you can record episodes in advance and post them and just have them post as they normally would. I mean, at the correct time, so there's never any interruptions, which is fine if you can be organized enough to record before you go on holiday, but the idea of it is really appealing. Whether or not I would actually use it or not, I don't know. But anyway, that's what that was about. And next up was Archer, who said, I talked about the same political items on my podcast recently. We seem to agree on everything. Surprise, surprise. The little grin emoticon. I will admit that this podcast did seem rushed. I can understand why and hope your storage issues are resolved soon. And I said, well, I noticed that we often end up called two peas in a pod on those silly Facebook likeness tests. I'll go more slowly in my next podcast. And actually, that is true. I'm not exaggerating. Very often, it'll turn out that Arch and I will be very similar on those things, but also in various questionnaires that come around, we'll end up answering things very similarly, or we'll be thinking the same thing about a political issue, for instance. And, I mean, I've gotten to know quite a few podcasters through email and chatting online and so on, since I've started this. And Arch is one of the ones who I think that if we lived in the closer geographic proximity, we would probably actually be friends in real life, because I think a lot of him. I don't mean most people do. Most people who've had interactions with him do. But he certainly would be a friend if I lived in the vicinity. There's several others too, Tim Carmel and Tom the Ramble Redhead and probably Eric and, oh, a bunch of others. I think Eric West in the Beat San Francisco would be another. Calvin, Hello Waffles, who's recording again and coincidentally is the next commenter. He said, I don't really have the same opinion of Nader. Honestly, there are some things that are just simply not predictable. Although, wouldn't it be wonderful if Huckabee would run even if McCain were the Republican nominee? A little whore like me can dream, no? Sex workers' rights, now! I wish the iPhone were illegal here, too. I'm so sick of people showing me picture after picture of that piece of excrement or coming up with any excuse to use it. And I said, welcome back! Calvin just recently started posting new episodes of his podcast, Hello Waffles, and there is a link in my blog, and I'll try to remember to put one in the show notes as well. Actually, I should probably try to put one in for all of these folks. Anyway, I went on. Obviously, there are plenty of people who disagree with me about Nader. I just hope they're not all dumb enough to vote for him, with a little winky emoticon. I really hope that Huckabee or some other of his ilk runs as a third-party candidate. I'm not sorry that the iPhone isn't available here because I don't want one, but the iPod Touch, now that's different. I really like that. And I do, too. Nigel's got one. And I just thought it was the coolest thing when I saw it, especially being able to turn it sideways and it does its own thing. And the wireless connection, so we have a wireless network here in the house, which is secured, by the way. You'll be glad to know. Because Eric mentioned it, his wireless connection in his latest podcast, too. Anyway, related to the subject of comments, I have a new 5-star review over in iTunes from David of that Blue Jean Sky podcast. I listen to his show and enjoy it very much. It's a mixture of commentary and music, sometimes talking about politics, sometimes about spirituality, all kinds of different things, what's going on in his life. It's very interesting. Do give it a listen. There's a link on my blog at all times, of course. And I'll try to put a link, try to remember to put a link in these show notes as well. One last thing. You may have seen this on some of the blogs as well, but Durex, the condom people, recently put out a well-being, global well-being survey or something. And among the things that they looked at were the percentages of people in various countries, 26 countries it was, how often they have sex, if they reported having sex once a week. And as it happens, America tied for 24th, with 53% of Americans saying that they had sex once a week, and which placed it even with Nigeria and just above, and both of them were just above Japan, which only had like 34% reporting that. New Zealand, because I'm sure you're wondering, 63% reported having sex once a week, which places New Zealand tied for 17th place. In Australia, only 60% reported having sex once a week, which made them in 21st place. So I just throw that out for what it's worth, because probably most of you won't bother to go look up to see what the other countries were, so I thought I would tell you what they were in this part of the world. But that is it for this episode of the Amarins Podcast. You can leave a comment on my blog, amarins.com, or you can send a comment by email to comment, that's singular, comment@amarins.com. And, of course, you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. My one-year anniversary of podcasting is coming up at the end of the month. You've got about a little over 3 weeks before then. So about 3 weeks from now to send me your greeting message. And you can either ring up the listener line, 206-339-8413, to leave a message, or you can email an MP3 to me. I don't think it matters what address you use, but there's amarins@podomatic.com, which is specifically set up for MP3s. But I'd love to get a message from you, and it's a great way for you to, if you're a podcaster, to promote your own show, and if you're a listener, to just say hey. Actually, if you're a blogger, you can promote your blog too, for that matter. I don't care. I'm not proud. But that's it. Oh, and if you want to send an email to me personally that I won't read on the podcast, you can send it to Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, @amarins.com. But that's it for this episode, and I'll be back the end of the week with the political cast. You are welcome to join me. I'll be recording roughly 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, U.S. time, and I'll be posting it later that day, probably. That's it for today. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and I'll talk to you at the end of the week. Bye. I'm